Okay. Hello, my friends. Can everybody hear us?
We're live.
If everybody can hear me, Townie 3057 for that dono, and I appreciate that so much, man. If everybody can hear us, just say something in the chat. Let me know. Uh-oh.
I think we're good.
Yes, yeah, we can hear. Good. Okay.
All right, cool.
Let me say it again. Townie, thank you, brother. I appreciate that a lot. Welcome, guys. This is the first live stream I have ever done. I'm here with Joey. This is his first ever public appearance. And there's 30 people here already. So coming through loud here. So thanks for being here,
Joey. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me. This was like really crazy because so I've been here for a few days now.
Mm-hmm.
And
need Bruce Buffer to introduce y'all. I went, dude. Look, real quick, yesterday I made Joey watch a Fight Night, and
yes,
he was craving Bruce Buffer's sweet voice and his awesome suit. But keep going.
Gerb is a huge UFC fan. If you guys don't know this, it was quite wild to be on the couch with him watching it. But yeah, so you know, after
what's up, Birdie?
A year of hey, Xavier, I see you there. After a year of investigating Michael Herrera's case, I'm Joey is not your name on Reddit. You know, I've been investigating his case for about a year now. Finally, for the first time, took the trip to Denver to meet up with him for the first time. Mm-hmm. And luckily, Gerb here is in the area and was gracious enough to host me. And yeah, so we've just had a packed few days, and with this live stream, what we want to do is just kind of like recap, you know, how the last few days went, mm-hmm. some of the things we did, and of course, you know, talk about our experience with Michael.
Yeah, and any questions you guys have, list them in the chat. We'll try and get to everything. So the story kind of went, we have been planning this trip for a couple months now. Of course, I've said this in some comments. I don't know how many people have seen this, but I've been pretty public about this. I actually got to meet Michael a couple months ago. And so I actually took him out to dinner. He's in Colorado. Y'all know I'm in Colorado. So we actually got some food. So this wasn't my first time meeting Michael, but it was Joey's. And real quick, Boxy Brown. Yes, if you see the poster in the background, yeah. My stepdad made this for me and I love it. And Joey, on my main table, will you go grab?
Oh,
which you can, if you don't mind. You got UFO sub last night from mentioning Eglin AFB and debunking Bob Lazar's Strange Times.
Don't forget to, you can click on that.
Oh, clicking. We'll get to that. Joey made me this, guys. Isn't this sweet? And you know what? He didn't ask for the logo or anything to not let me know anything was up. So he made this from his own hand, which is insane. As far as getting banned for UFOs, let's, Joey, can you unban this man?
What is this? What is he saying?
He says he got banned from UFOs for mentioning Eglin AFB and debunking Bob Lazar.
Oh, I see. I don't know anything about that. So I'll have to look into that.
Birdie wants to know what Joey thinks about Nathan. We will absolutely get to that when we kind of mention it. We'll start. So kind of the weekend on Friday, Joey was here and we met up with Michael for dinner. That's when we were originally planning to do the first live. And right after that, just looking at some comments. Sorry, guys, this is my first live. So if anything's a bit sloppy, that's probably why. But Friday night, we met up with Michael for dinner. He is a business owner. So we went to one of his businesses to film an interview. And right now, we have all the footage. We use three cameras. Joey has some incredible gear. So it's very professionally recorded. I think we got about like 4 hours of footage.
I think it was less than that. I think
scallions,
maybe 2.5 to 3 hours. I think mm-hmm. of footage. But yeah, we set it up in one of his conference rooms and set up a few different angles. We have like a tight shot on Michael. Kind of mm-hmm. felt that was important to kind of get his reaction to, you know, questions that, you know, as they're being asked to him and kind of close up. But one thing that was really cool, do you have the paper?
The drawing?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I have it right up here.
At one point, you know, when he got to the craft, we were like, hey, can you just like draw this? And so we've got this really cool kind of sequence of him going through, you know, kind of his memory as he's drawing this and So I thought that was kind of mm-hmm. neat, you know.
I want to give a quick thank you to Scallions. I really appreciate that, brother. And Bernie and Rob here, if you like not agreeing with Michael, that's something that's totally all right. This case, you know, Joey and I have discussed this at length and discussed this with Michael. And somebody in another Discord asked a really pertinent question, like, why is it so hard for a lot of people, like including myself from the get-go? You know, my first video I made on Michael, I was super skeptical about it. You know, why is his story so hard to believe? And I totally understand a lot of the skepticism around Michael's story. It's a really weird story, especially kind of factoring in like the huge UAP and black program operators, as well as kind of being contacted by the insider and so forth. So one of the things that I wanted to do with this interview, and Joey and I had talked about this a lot, is I found in other appearances from Michael and interviews and also Nathan's appearance, there was still a lot of confusion around Michael's Indonesia case. If I remember correctly from Nathan's appearance, there was
for people who don't know, was Michael's team leader at one point, and he was on the deployment, that same deployment to Indonesia. And he recently was interviewed by Patrick on Vetted, mm-hmm. and he doesn't believe Michael. He thinks Michael's lying, and he provided his testimony, mm-hmm. as well as a photograph that he claims shows Michael, you know, kind of prepping to go into Indonesia, mm-hmm. with him. And so that was something we brought up to Michael as well. Yeah. There's like a camouflage match that, you know, was brought up.
And the fact of the matter is I saw some discussion about this. Nathan was Michael's mission operation, like in the field team leader. That's not a question. I see some people saying like, is he a plant known? I think Nathan's just a team leader that doesn't like Michael at all.
Well, no one really, honestly, no one liked Michael in the platoon. The thing that was so crazy for me, like meeting Michael for the first time in person. I mean, obviously, like over the past year, I've gotten to know him. it was just like a profile picture. I've gotten to know Michael over the past year, but like meeting him in person, it just struck me that he is not at all the person that Nathan describes from 2009. Mm-hmm. I've also had the opportunity to speak with a few other people from Michael's platoon who knew him back then. And he's just a totally different person now. You know, he's like a completely remade person. And there's some, you know, he had some personal struggles after he got out of the Marines that, you can listen to his total disclosure interview, and he kind of goes into that, and it just really makes a lot of sense. He kind of hit rock bottom and just had this, you know, something went off in his head to like totally change his life. And I just had like a totally positive experience, like as far as his character and his mannerisms, and, you know, just like going out to eat and him being polite, so polite, mm-hmm. to the staff, and just attentive, you know, in conversation and stuff like that. So that was kind of one of my big takeaways from meeting him, mm-hmm. in person.
And so with the Nathan's testimony, I found a lot of factual inaccuracies just from the time that interview was released with Nathan. Both Vetted and Nathan were kind of pressing that this mission happened at night. It was like some secret night mission. That wasn't anything Michael had ever said. He'd always said this was a daytime mission. They said similar to the Arrow historical report, this had to do with extraterrestrials and aliens. It did not. I had a couple other issues, but just overall, like, I agree with some of the cases. There's some of the claims that Nathan was a little dismissed. Michael. He clearly does not like Michael, kind of talking about how Michael would spend hours in the gym and just was a weirdo, would take walks by himself. So for this interview, we really wanted to nail down a lot. Jim, thank you so much. I will get to your question in 1 second. We really wanted to nail down kind of a lot of the details of kind of Michael's story, including because one of Nathan's strongest claims is that he was on mission with Michael, and there's no way Michael could have gone on this UFO mission. So you'll see this in our interview, but Michael has stated before he was stationed on the USS Denver in Chow, you know, preparing officer meals and so forth. And we really try to nail down the time period that this volunteer mission where he ended up observing the UFO, or he says he observed the UFO, happened during one of his shifts in kind of the chow hall. Just approached, recruited us just a volunteer for this mission. This wasn't with his normal kind of team leader and fire team. This was a put together ragtag kind of group of volunteers, especially, and was kind of a off the cuff mission to the point where, remember, Mike was an M249 SAW gunner. And here on this mission, he claims he was handed an M16A4, 200 Norwegian krona. I know that. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Also, Norway is one of my favorite countries on earth. I was just in Oslo last September. But so just kind of ironing out some of those details. And before I continue, you have anything to add?
I think one of the other inconsistencies was, like, I think it was stated that, like, they saw the UFO from the LZ.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't see anything until they got to the top of the hill. And but yeah, the other questions, I mean, really addressing Nathan's stuff was kind of just a small part of the interview. A lot of it was focused on things that I noticed, like small details or kind of gaps in time of his testimony, where he might have, you know, skipped from one thing and kind of like went to the next thing. And there, you know, maybe there was like a half hour in between that kind of is fuzzy, you know, that he has never talked about. And so I tried to identify some of those areas that would help kind of add context to the situation. And we also talked about the insider.
Yes. One of the things I'm really glad Michael talked about in this interview, because he's only kind of mentioned it kind of halfway or just in passing, but he actually told us the story and did it live. We'll have it in the interview, kind of how he came in contact with the insider, because he's just said before, oh, this insider contacted him. If we remember to the NPC 2023, that was June 12th.
Yeah.
Right. June 9th or 10th is when the Daily Mail article came out. That was about Herrera's story. Pre Greer's NPC 2023, there was actually a 3-day kind of closed private event. And that's where Michael first gave his testimony in a private setting. And it was here that the insider was at this event. And once Michael gave his testimony, Michael says that the insider kind of talked to Greer, said, I know what this is. Let me try and connect with Michael. And after a little bit of phone tag with Greer and this insider, they finally connected. And this insider invited him out to this location that is so infamous now, kind of the most infamous part of Michael's story.
Yeah. And for me, like, so you guys have to understand, like, when this was all unfolding, I was in direct contact with Michael last year, you know, so leading up to Michael. Well, first of all, when he told me, like, this insider wanted to meet him, I was like super skeptical. It sounded like, what are the chances you have like a UFO witness and all of a sudden someone in the black program is gonna wants to meet them? So I was super skeptical, but I had a phone call with him the day before the meeting. That phone call has since been, we've published that on the video that you and I did together a few months back.
Yeah.
You can kind of hear a clip of that video, but in it you can see, like, I was given certain details about the location and, you know, timing of that meeting. And, you know, ultimately, I was able to obtain some evidence that proved Michael was on a specific helicopter. And so I was able to track that helicopter without Michael's knowledge. And I could see exactly where that helicopter went that day. I didn't tell Michael about this, you know, right at the start. Mm-hmm. You know, once he got back, I spoke with him and said, you know, started asking him some questions and, you know, asked him, like, what time does he remember them taking off, stuff like that. And just, like, everything was lining up. I also, well, so one thing is, at this point, you're fully kind of read in on all of that evidence.
Yeah. So, A, thank you so much, Portal Chow. That's a cool name. And I appreciate you so much. That's so kind of you. But B, the kind of a, yeah, well, let's get to this too, kind of. But so a lot of this evidence about that initial meeting was a helicopter, kind of a visit to this location Joey was able to track down with multiple pieces of self-confirming data from kind of publicly available flight records and And I don't know how much I want to say about it. So you tell me some of the pieces that help. That.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I have to be vague about the main piece of evidence I use is like the nature in which it was obtained could kind of compromise certain things. And it's been really frustrating for me, you know, at the time, I eventually revealed to Michael, like, hey, I tracked the helicopter, and he was like, holy crap. And, at the time I felt it was important to reach out to certain, people, you know, certain journalists, certain like podcasters, things like that. And just explain to them that, like, look, Michael's not lying about this insider. Like, this meeting happened, you know, like, I can't prove the insider is who he is, but I know he went to this location. That's like, I know where he went. Gerb knows exactly where he went. And it's like a very interesting location.
Yeah, that's what makes things so weird, because there's still a lot of like people and still a lot of valid thoughts about, you know, is this guy disinformation? Like, I totally understand that point of view. It's totally, you know, that's kind of where my mind drifted initially too. Puzzled helicopter, but Joey also
what's the question?
Helicopter equals insider. Okay, can you name the location? Burning Rob, I cannot. That's not my location.
So today. Well, let me address this question here. So I'm not. You're basically kind of saying like, am I taking evidence of a helicopter to mean that I know the insider's real? No, that's not it. It's so initially it was the nature in which he took him to this location just said to me that this guy at the very least has to be some sort of high level person to be able to take him where he took him in the nature in which he did that. But now we have like third party corroboration of this insider from multiple very trusted people.
Yeah. It kind of along the lines of that. If you guys watched my Witnesses One video with the story of MS, when I'm talking about Dugway, and I linked that YouTube video that's kind of talking about Area 51 stuff being moved to Dugway, or Wiener. Let me get to that in one second, but thank you so much. But in that documentary I linked, it shows like random citizens pulling up to Dugway, right? Which is, this location's not Dugway, but random citizens being pulled up to Dugway, getting approached by men at arms, being held at gunpoint, being approached by Apache helicopters. If this was just some random dude taking Michael to this location, they would have been pulled up on and probably detained, because it's not a Starbucks, right? Like, he didn't get flown a helicopter to a Starbucks or something like that. Real fast, before we keep talking about that, Ort Wiener, no, I have not heard back from TV. I will probably not be talking to him again unless he becomes a public person. But yeah, I'll probably just let him. I don't really want to infringe on his privacy anymore. But keep going.
So when I started reaching out to these different, journalists and podcasters who, you know, and I wanted, I just wanted just to say, like, Michael's not lying about this one thing, because I felt like it would just elevate, you know, kind of the base level of trust, instead of just kind of, you know, interviewing him or talking to him without having that information. Now, unfortunately, I had to censor kind of key parts of that evidence when I was doing these calls with these people. Most of them, there's a couple I did share the full evidence, and they were able to verify it and know the location. Gerb here now, at this point, Michael has, you know, given him the trust to be kind of like fully read in on that. So I just have such a relief and weight off my shoulders to finally have like someone else other than me just being like, yeah, guys, trust me, who has seen the full picture of like evidence of this meeting, who can kind of, you know, talk about it and be like, yeah, I'm not an idiot. And like,
yeah, Do you think the insider has proof that Michael is saying the truth, or the insider just trusts Michael's story? Michael has said that the reason he was taken to this location is because the insider told him he would be shown proof to corroborate his story. And I think that's probably like a pretty fair guess to say that, you know, some elements of Michael's story he felt were corroborated. Birdie, I do want to tell you this insider, I do not think it's Tim Taylor.
Yeah. So, well, just if I could address this question too, I think 100% the insider knows Michael's telling the truth. Like if the insider is who he says he is, like just logically, it doesn't make sense if he didn't believe him. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is like the insider allegedly, you know, is familiar with these types of operations, and that was, you know, one of the reasons why he wanted to, you know, build a relationship with Michael. And actually, this was one of the questions I had during the interview with Michael, mm-hmm. was like, why did he need or want you to kind of have this relationship, mm-hmm. and stuff? And so Michael kind of goes into that, and it makes a lot of sense, in my opinion, mm-hmm. you know, kind of why they have this sort of mutual relationship and what the insider is getting out of it from Michael.
And I've struggled and grappled with this, just Michael's whole story, so much. Because if you guys remember the first video I ever did a couple months ago, I straight up told I was extremely skeptical of Michael and didn't believe him. Over time, and especially talking to Michael, some of the confirming elements of just meeting the insider and so forth is so strange to me. I don't know kind of what the future of this entails, or really the consequence this holds to Michael, or even what he saw. I still don't know that. I really would like to know, but it's just such a weird story. And I think in this interview, which I saw somebody asking, was it going to be out? I'm trying to edit all right now, so I will get it out this week. But I just feel like
it out this week.
I know. But the people want to see it, right? I want to get this video out. I'm so excited. Yeah, but it's such an interesting story. And I really do understand it. So I want to touch back to why some people don't believe the Michael story. But the craft he saw was octagonal, kind of octagonal shape. Yeah, throw that up there.
I mean, this is just a sketch, but there's some better drawings and kind of renderings of the craft that he described. Yes. Oh, we also, sorry, I don't want to get off track.
I was just going to say, how much do you trust Stephen Greer? That is a loaded question. How much do I trust Stephen Greer right now? Probably a 2. How much do I trust Stephen Greer's database and just people who have contacted him? Because most of the witnesses that I found and so forth just reached out to Greer, not contacted him. High confidence in a lot of those people. But Greer, I've made it well known, you know, maybe I haven't seen it for myself, so I don't know if the CE5 is legit or anything like that. I don't know. That's weird. That's kind of strange to me. But I think Greer's got a huge ego. I think he just kind of wants to possess his own witnesses. For example, Michael talked, I think this was on the Total Disclosure podcast, that of course his story came out through Greer. He kind of maybe would have gone through different routes if he knew now. But he specifically mentioned Greer either purposefully or mispurposefully lying about his case. When he's had the Men in Black operators, when they were pulling guns on them, Greer had said over dramatized the story, saying that the men made the Marines kind of get on their knees, turn around, guns pointed back to their head, like almost a movie level of kind of drama. And so this happens with Michael, and who knows what other people he's talked about. It just kind of stretches their story, but just stretches things a little bit. I think if Greer ease back on the ego a bit and trying to grift people for thousands of dollars for CE5 stuff, he'd be taken a lot more seriously. But he's just an enigma to me, man. I don't know, because if you guys have read the 2001 Disclosure Project briefing document, I think that is a brilliant document front to back. It's fantastic. And so that was in 2001 and 97. Where did he go wrong that now he's trying to command lordship over people who contact him? I don't know. And also, like, if you go through the DPI archive, some of those documents he's uploaded, and I kind of felt guilty about going through some of these, say they're protected by doctor-client privileges. Why is he posting this stuff? It's immoral. It's absolutely immoral that he's doing that. And sometimes I feel bad looking through that stuff. But I don't know, man. I don't like it. Interesting to know if Michael has talked about masonry or if you have any thoughts on that. He seemed to, I seem to, Michael was wearing a Masonic pin and he has talked to us because of course that's so interesting. He just kind of told us that he joined masonry because he kind of liked the kind of wealth-oriented mindset and joining the group of people and so forth. So for him, he wasn't a native Mason, like family-wise. I don't even know how joining masonry works, but he
joined pretty young, I think at 18.
At 18?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he appreciates a lot of the history behind it. And, you know, he's talked about, he's kind of addressed, you know, the conspiracy theories and stuff like that and on kind of other interviews and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, like the wealth aspect, like his, like we toured his business and it's an incredibly complex organization.
Yeah.
Incredibly it's impressive. It's an 8-figure business just by looking at it.
What about
you know,
other pin?
I don't remember what that was. He addressed that on the Total Disclosure.
Okay. I need to check that out. I need to check what other pin he was wearing.
Yeah.
But
we also talked about Kirkpatrick.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, guys, this is going to be really great too. I live in, hey, Birdie, if you're in Kentucky, my pops lives in Pendleton. I'm out there all the time. I love Pendleton. I'll get to this in 1 second, but Arrow. So yeah, Michael did testify to Arrow. And in the interview, he talks at length about that. He testified directly to Kirkpatrick and we'll just give a little details. Is that okay? Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. The last time, I'm splitting that one with you, man.
Yeah, you get it. I don't want anything.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much, man. Jimmy, I really appreciate that. That is so kind of you. Seriously, from the bottom of my heart. But Arrow, so he testified directly to Arrow. There were a couple people in the room. Michael said that Dr. Kirkpatrick sat leaned back with his legs crossed the whole time, asked 3 questions about Indonesia, 3 questions, because he testified in April of 2023, so before NPC 2023 with Greer. He said Kirkpatrick asked 3 times the same question. He said,
yeah, 3 questions, but they were the same, the same question.
He didn't type anything down. He just had some handwritten notes. After that, Kirkpatrick and Arrow told him they would be following up, and they never did. He never heard from them again. And he was also surprised and pretty angered when he saw Historical Report Volume 1 and saw that it was completely kind of falsifying his testimony to Arrow.
You're supposed to, like, as a content creator, you got to, like, leave teases. Oh, right? You, like, spoiled it.
I know. But still, you got to
See, that's what I like about you. You're not, like, leaning into all the, like, kind of marketing.
Hell no. I'm not going to do trailers. No, it's awesome, man.
Yeah.
He thought Kirkpatrick was a total jerk.
But yeah, the question was like, who were the operators? That was like the one thing that he was focused in on. He didn't ask anything else.
This Swarwat, yes, I've tried to find that person that's in the emails. Also tried to talk to John Stewart. I've heard some kind of positive and negative things on that encounter. So I really am trying to get to the bottom of it, as well as the strange connections to the 1974 Chihuahua, Mexico crash retrieval case I want to cover. That occurred in Cayome, Mexico in 1974. Supposedly a crash UAP, a disc, collided with a small Cessna airplane. Mexican authorities retrieved the craft. United States kind of insurgency team killed those people and took the craft. So that's all I know about that. I no data or anything to back that up now, but I will cover that case. Birdie, yes, if you've seen the Disclosure Project and you've seen witness A, B, or B, A, I can't remember which, I'm trying to find that person. They said he was Boeing and Lockheed Skunk Works. So I'm trying to track down who that person is. I know his name because it's actually listed, not redacted in the Greer files, which is crazy because if you read the Disclosure Project, it says A.H., that's the name, A.H., but in the Greer witness list, his name's unredacted. So I won't hide that. If somebody beats me to finding him, fair play. But yeah, I'm trying to track down that guy. I have a friend of a friend whose father's management Skunk Works in the mid-2000s. Bernie Rob, if he wants to talk about UAP, tell him to contact me, please.
Yeah, it's been so cool to just kind of shadow over Gerb these past few days. I mean, I think within the span of like a few days, like you've made like 2 new contacts.
Yeah.
Have had conversations with, you know, some witnesses, like, it's incredible. Like the hustle behind here is just, it's really cool to see.
Yeah. So I might mention this in another video, but if you guys are watching, I would like to tell you about something that I found. Another one of Greer's witnesses I made contact with, this guy's actually a PhD professor at a university, completely vetted his credentials. Not a firsthand encounter, a secondhand encounter. But let me tell you about the secondhand encounter. I have no more data on it than just speaking to this gentleman the other day. It's actually a good point of contact. He's actually in Colorado, so I'd like to talk to him more. But when he was in university for his PhD, are we going to see Michael in documentaries or hearings? We'll get to that right after this story. While getting his PhD, one of his professors was an Army electrical engineer. And this is Jim.
Wow.
Thank you. I'm spending this with you. All right.
You've like $100
Venmo to Joey. Thank you, Jim. That's incredible. Thank you so much. But so this guy has a secondhand encounter, right? His professor in university getting his PhD used to be in the Army Corps of Electrical Engineers. He used to be an electrical engineer in Army Engineering. So he told me back in the 50s, early 50s, I think this might be 53, around the time of Kingman. Hey, I'll get to that in 1 second. His professor, while a little liquored up at a party one night, said that one night in the early 50s, in the middle of the night, he was woken up from his bunk. From his bunk, he was placed in a bus, driven hours to an airstrip, put in a plane with no windows. If you remember so far, this sounds oddly similar to Arthur Stansel in the Kingman crash. He's put in this plane, is flown to a place in the middle of the desert, brought into a building in the middle of the desert where a bunch of strange objects were in like an industrial laboratory and told to figure out how they work. A couple years later, he asked the same professor. The professor denied that and said, no, it was Russian objects. So that's a really interesting story. And
he said, what were they? And he said, they're not ours.
Right? Yeah, he said, they're not ours. Quote, they're not ours.
Yeah. And then later on, he's like, oh, well, I didn't mean NHI or anything. Mm-hmm. I meant it was Russia.
Yeah. So,
but he didn't believe that.
No, he didn't believe that because why would a PhD in electrical engineering know that? So that's an interesting story. 3D monster. No, sir. I actually have my degree in mechanical engineering.
I think we missed one.
Sorry about that, guys. Still working on this. In documentaries or hearings? Hearings, I would hope so. I know he's willing to kind of testify if approached. Documentaries, I'm not quite sure. He's kind of like he doesn't want to do too many media appearances. One of the reasons he did this interview is just because we've developed a relationship with Michael over the months. But do you have any other insights?
I mean, there's some stuff that I'm vaguely aware of, but I don't think it's like public yet. But one thing I want to just kind of acknowledge as well. I spoke to Ross Coulthart like last year, very early on. He was actually one of the first people I approached to kind of share the evidence that I had. And he finally, he did a Reddit AMA a few months ago and acknowledged that he's investigating Michael Herrera's case. And I've known this the whole time. And he also recently in one of his reality check segments, expressed that he likes Michael, mm-hmm. and he finds what he says credible. So I just want to like put that out there, in case you guys missed it. This is a very interesting case. Mm-hmm. And I mean, at this point, like there are a lot of things that I know Michael is 100% telling the truth about. And, of course, there's a lot of things that I don't have the evidence for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but people call real fast, broke Johnny Light. Where can I find this custodian file? And thank you so much. Love you, man. A lot of people have called Joey Michael's publicist, but, you do not claim to have all the information with Michael, do you?
No, and it's like, there's a lot of times like he in the past, like he's done interviews, yes. and like I didn't even know he was doing an interview, and like I just see it just like all you guys, but I did reach out to, like I said, Ross and Richard Dolan and, you know, like Chris Leto,
yourself.
I reached out to you, Stephen Diener, because, you know, I knew that they were interested in talking to Michael. And I was like, hey, can I just like, do you mind if I can talk to them ahead of time? And Michael would put me in touch with them sometimes, or sometimes I'd reach out directly. And I'd just be like, look, I'd have a private video call with them and just be like, look, I just want to share this evidence that I have before you talk to Michael so you can see. But I'm not like at all part of like coordinating his appearances or anything like that. So, for a long time, people thought I was Michael because like I was anonymous.
Yeah, but now everybody knows you're Joey. This dude's a giant, man. He's like 6'5".
6'4".
He dwarfs me. He dwarfs Michael.
But I'm not like built like you. You're like jacked.
Ben, yes, this is Joey right here. Chris Leto. I think he's gotten such things. Chris Leto's a wonderful man, a good pilot, a fantastic channel. There was, of course, a period of time where, you know, don't die. He's tall, dude. He's a giant. but there was just a period of time. Do you think NASA and Space Force knows? Space Force, I'm not quite sure. NASA's had a weird relationship with UAP. If you remember my last video, that kind of NASA back in the 60s and 70s would always claim they had no kind of interest in studying UAP. But there was a good period of time in 70s, specifically 78, where there were many internal memos with NASA discussing UAP. So I'm not sure to their extent, like if NASA is involved in black programs and reverse engineering, but NASA's very, very interesting. Thoughts on Raytheon building UFOs in Antarctica? I've heard nothing about this, Polaris. If you have anything to share, email me uapgrove@gmail.com, and I'd love to see what you say. So we'll try to get up these questions.
We'll get to Patrick's.
Yeah. Okay. Is this? Do you think Nathan was put? No.
So I got in touch with Nathan pretty early on, and he was extremely gracious with his time. You know, going back and forth with me. You know, just kind of texting and chatting, and quickly found out he is exactly who he says he is. I do not at all think he's like a paid disinformation agent or anything like that. What I kind of got the vibe was he just never liked Michael. And I got that vibe from every platoon member I spoke to, because you have to understand Michael was not part of their group through boot camp. You know, he was in a different company. He went UA, which is unauthorized absence, from his original company. He's upfront about that from his very first, you know, coming forward.
Yeah, this is
he said that 214.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was nothing he ever was hiding behind. And, you know, people accused him of like trying to hide that. But so he got transferred to Nathan's company prior to that deployment to Indonesia. And so all of those guys looked at him and they just think he's like a loser because, you know, they find out he went UA. And, you know, they were bullying him and he just kind of leaned into it and kind of screwed with them back. And so none of them liked it. So that's what I recognized for Nathan. And I mean, if you can put yourself in Nathan's shoes and, you know, the guy that you remember being strange is coming forward with like these really extraordinary claims.
Yeah.
And he was his team leader, you know, at, you know, during that deployment. I don't have a military background. So like if Michael has said from his first, you know, testimony that the mission he was on was a volunteer pick of people from different squads. And I think he even said different platoons because there are multiple platoons on the ship. And so from day one, his testimony has always been that he did not deploy with his assigned squad. So Nathan was never a part of Michael's testimony.
Right.
And it's just kind of silly that, like, why would Michael, like, if Michael was making this up, why would he make up a fake mission about a UFO, but then after, you know, 14 years of thinking about it and saying, I'm going to come forward, also decide to lie about the real mission he did with Nathan? That part has always bothered me. It just makes no sense because literally the only thing that puts Nathan's testimony against Michael is Michael's denial of him going on a mission with him. So he could have easily just said, yeah, I did two missions. I did one with a volunteer group that, you know, saw the UAP. And then I did another regular mission with my team leader and we didn't see anything on that one. So I'm not sure if there was a second part to that question.
We'll scroll through a couple of these. Will be Milo. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. If you got any questions, I will get to them right away. Sorry, we're trying to scroll through these questions. And I see you, Anonymous. What do you mean? Let us know what you think while you're saying, trust me, bro, with a million claims and no evidence, because I understand how you feel. But I'd like to hear how you think. Why is that some things are not made public yet? I like to think back to David Grush saying program, reverse engineering, and so forth, feudalistic dominance. And just I still think that over time, there's a lot more interesting parallels to be drawn to somewhat of a hidden Cold War for decades between adversaries and so forth, kind of a race to understand this technology. Thoughts on Kirkpatrick's new position? DOE influence all the time. I did not like Kirkpatrick at all. And I think his interview with Green Street was pretty funny, how part two was just kind of changed to be solely discussing the 2018 Skinwalker briefing. So with the Raytheon stuff, I don't know. I don't know what I think about Eric Hecker. Some of his claims, I know I'm talking about Michael here, and discussing how I find his claims interesting. The neutrino detector, that's a little bit hard to believe that the neutrino detector is like a weather weapon. I need to do more studying until I have
And just to touch on the why things aren't public yet, I mean, the group that Michael is working with this insider, they're pro-disclosure. Like, this was the whole reason they connected with Michael. They have things going on that they're trying to, you know, I think if you guys back out and kind of look at disclosure as a whole, like, there's multiple groups of people trying to push disclosure forward from different angles. You know, you've got the legislation side of things. You have kind of, intelligence community insiders who weren't read into the program, but kind of have an idea that there's something going on, and they're kind of pushing things forward to try to get things. And you have people in the program who just can't become public about it because they have, you know, families and they're at risk. And I think what we're hearing, not just from Michael, but from other sources, is that there needs to be more kind of whistleblower protection.
Yeah. Something I experienced outright with TB, and this is kind of aligns with the whistleblower protection, is part of the reason I don't think he wanted to come forward with Greer is, you know, having his name public, he will still lose his pension completely. The guy's got a family to provide for and so forth, but his pension will be completely gone, never get another job in government. So more whistleblower protection seem to be in place, and kind of look what how some whistleblowers have been treated a little bit. Who do you think the next Aero boss, do you think the next Aero boss will be different? Probably not. I think Aero's rotten from the inside out, man, but I'd love to be proven wrong. I think there needs to be a large internal investigation into Aero. Let's see what, thank you so much, Broke Johnny Live. That's your second cash donation. I really appreciate you. We do not need any person can film these in 4K. Yeah, footage is a weird one to me because as we saw embedded yesterday, there was that dude at MUFON who presented that crash retrieval program, crash retrieval photo. And it's just like footage is really hard to kind of authenticate or completely disprove. And at this point for me, like in my private research, just studying footage is not enough. That's why I try and talk to all these people. I really just want to speak to people and so forth. Thank you for your channel. Thank you so much, First Last. I appreciate you. I want to talk to Anonymous. I definitely understand that point of view because there's a lot of trust me, bro stuff with people like Jeremy Corbell. I think with this evidence where Michael was taken, I think that Joey can't share it because Michael.
Well, it would just compromise the insider. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally compromise. But like, I totally understand the sentiment. And like, I had a decision. Do I just not say anything publicly, even though I know it's true? Or what I came up with was a compromise. I said, well, let me reach out to different people who, you know, the community mostly trusts, you know, different kind of people in the community, podcasters, journalists and things like that, and share that evidence with them. And then they can, you know, if they think I'm full of baloney, they can call me out on it and shut me down. You know, what I didn't expect was a lot of them kind of wanted to kind of continue their investigation privately and not just like come forward and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I totally respect and understand the majority of you guys feeling like, you know, this, you just kind of want to set this aside because that evidence isn't.
That's a good question to touch on too. Very good question.
Why would it compromise the insider? Because this, you know, these guys have kind of a regular job as well, right? They're like, it's not just like the black program stuff that they do. They have kind of a regular job that they do. And so the location would kind of indicate the people that work there essentially, mm-hmm. you know? So that's why. There's another reason.
Show your work. It's sending positive vibes. Thank you, brother. You gotta trust me, bro. I totally understand your sentiment, man. Like, I would love for Michael to talk about this. I would love for this Fang Insider to be public, but unfortunately, I don't get to call the shots there. I'm just a dude trying to kind of study this case as best as I can. But you know, I completely understand why it's frustrating, especially in a subject where a lot of people make claims and don't really touch on it. Aztec's a really good case I really want to cover. So if you guys remember when I did my Wilson Davis memo, James Rigney, the guy who actually leaked the Wilson Davis memo, I become friends with him. He's a wonderful man, a great person, and he is strongly of the mind that Aztec is a hoax. So I really want to speak to him and think why he does that. Majé Brazil, I really want to cover that too. MacMave Studios has a terrific kind of have you seen that? It's a blender. It's like a recreation of a crash retrieval event.
Who?
MacMave Studios.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It's
yes.
super good. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is really good.
But yeah. I wish more people would be public, man. Have you verified the guy that...
Yeah, so this was the second part of your question, Patrick, okay. that I slipped off. You know, I don't want to go too far into this because I don't know how much everyone's comfortable. So to a certain extent, I'll say that I have verified the person who sent the text. Kind of claiming that. So the context is Michael sent actually this is good to explain because people don't know the context. So Michael called one of the five Marines who witnessed this event with him to see if they'd be willing to kind of come forward with him and you know, be public. And he left a message and the guy replied later, I think it was several days later, with the text message. And that's why, so like I posted the text message. I had seen the message like months and months prior. And I talked to Michael about it. I was like, hey, do you think I could post the actual screenshot of the message? And I censored out like the messages above and people were like, why did, you know, we want to see what was asked and all that. The reason why it was censored is the text messages above were from like weeks prior, months prior. Michael had called him, left a message, but then this person responded via text. So hopefully that kind of explains it a little bit more. But yeah, I'll just leave it there for now because, you know, like Michael says, like none of the guys that he witnessed this with want anything to do with this. You know, like you've got to remember, like they all signed NDAs threatening their lives and jail time and all of that. And Michael kind of, you know, violated that NDA by coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to do anything at all to, you know, kind of, make them upset and it's just something I'm kind of setting aside for now.
Any notable case in Louisiana, probably closest I know is Cape Girardeau, 1941. And that's a really interesting case. Let's try to get some of these thoughts on Brandon Fugel and Travis Taylor. I don't have many thoughts or opinions on Brandon Fugel, to be honest. I do think it's kind of weird he never followed up with a Green Street about the Sean Kirkpatrick thing. But I don't have many thoughts. Or Travis Taylor's the dude on Skinwalker Ranch, right?
Travis Taylor, yeah.
I don't know. I've never watched Skinwalker Ranch. Any TV show, whether it's Ghost Hunters or any reality show.
I mean, he's
show.
Had other...
Oh, okay. You know, because he gets a PhD, then.
Yeah, or he's been involved with UAP.
Phil Snyder's claims are strange. Joel Say is weird too. I'm really interested in Duns lately. An interesting kind of piece on that, I don't think it's in print anymore, is UFO Highway ebook. If you get in contact with me, I'll send that to you because it's really interesting. I, for one, am very confused about the Nazca bodies. I expect them to go. There's a website on this I want you to check out. Let me pull that up. Let me pull this up. If you're watching, if you're interested in the bodies, it's called It's called alien-project.com. And you can look at the 3D scans of all the bodies. And that's just a really cool thing to look at. I don't really have an opinion on them right now because I haven't studied too much, but it's very strange. Ryan Roberts, 5K USD, announced who it is. I don't know who it is. And so I cannot do that.
Well, he's asking me to do it.
Where do you think the huge unmovable object that UFO Raw says, I have heard rumors that this is Pine Gap, Australia. And I think that that's probably like a pretty interesting place. I know TB said Seoul, South Korea, and I know there was a pretty good Reddit investigation in South Korea, but I'm not 100% sure if that's accurate. Recommendations on how to really dig into this. Yes, dude, just be able to read into tons of documents. That's all I can say. The way I started this was I'm just a normal dude. I'm kind of an idiot. I like to get punched in the face for fun. I just read a lot and try
speaking
and
of jujitsu.
Yeah, I try and catalog everything I could do. Am I drinking sauce by the bottle? I do not. Yeah, soy sauce. This is kombucha. It's really good, by the way. Yes, sir. I would love to. Curb, can we get you cloned? Dude, no. I'm not giving you my DNA. That'd be weird to see a clone of me. It'd probably be pretty annoying to hang out with a clone of me. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to look through.
Yeah, Xavier, that good shout on the Travis Taylor. Yeah, thoughts. UAP Task Force. He was on mm-hmm. the UAP Task Force.
I completely agree with that. That's something that TD commented on in his emails, specifically university-affiliated research centers. I still need to do some digging there, but I think that there's some interesting things there. Taylor was also on UAPTF. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't mention that, guys. Thanks both of you for bringing that up. I like of course, Mountain's pretty interesting, but there's, of course, some controversy there. I like Monat AFP. I like Nuclear Base Incursion. One of my favorite stories is Bob Jacobs. Of course, that's a dummy warhead, but you're familiar with Bob Jacobs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I love that story. Jesus, all this. Okay. Come on, man. Bring up those new MUFON photos. Yeah, we kind of touched on them a little bit. The photos are interesting, of course, but I can't, like, I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's just a photo that, and I think the dude on the live just wanted to flash up for a second, bring it down. Like, I don't know. It's a weird photo. I can't really say anything more than strange. Yeah, this is really interesting. Blue Elizondo and Stephen G being at odds with each other. Greer said that the 2004 Nimitz Tic Tacs are man-made ARVs and calls Lou a disinformation agent. Lou has basically called Greer a fraud. So the whole thing with Green Street and Lou, I think you guys will probably think is super interesting. Like, I find that super interesting. There is a strange absence of kind of documents around Lou and ATIP, but I think Lou is a fantastic person. He seems like he wants to disclosure, and I'm actually kind of excited for his book.
Yeah,
you getting this book?
I got it.
So, okay. Hey, this is a good point, man. So, what we kind of talked about earlier when I brought up the 1974 Chihuahua incident, this is in Kaiome, the same region where this black site occurs.
So we're talking about the Sentinels of Ether.
Yeah, Sentinels of Ether book in 2004 JSOC.
The insider is kind of having produced and mm-hmm. is going through. Doxer mm-hmm. review right now, and so it takes place in this.
So I have a little conspiracy theory that I'm trying to look through, that this 1974 Kaiome case with the American operators taking down the Mexican military retrieval team is the case referenced in Sentinels of Ether. I need to keep looking at that, but that's something I need to keep going through. Has Michael received? Yeah, he's talked about this kind of a lot. In terms of, he said his father has been threatened, and he says he's seen curious kind of flyovers of helicopters almost circling, strafing his place of work, and so forth. You want to touch on that before I get to this next question?
Oh, no, that's all right.
All right. Contact, Arrival, or Interstellar? That's a tough question, man, but I got to go with Interstellar. Time and No Time for Caution, or No Time for Caution is one of the best film songs of all time. You've seen
Yeah, I would say
Interstellar,
Interstellar too. Yeah, the scores of
right?
these
That
two.
movie is so good. Interstellar is a fan. All of these are great movies, especially Contact. That's severely underrated with Jodie Foster. You've seen that, right?
Don't think I have actually.
Oh man, you gotta see it.
Yeah.
That's any idea why JSOC is coming up in hearings? Yes, because if this insider is telling the truth and he's not just a disinfo guy and he's trying to disseminate information through Sentinels of Ether, there's a reason why he's bringing up JSOC.
I just don't understand
The Sentinels of Ether.
no, the disinfo angle
Yeah.
with Michael, and it just, I don't,
I also don't get
like, what's the logic, guys? Like, tell me what the logic is. Like, Michael came forward, most people didn't believe him, and so why would there be a, like, what's the agenda? I don't get it. You know, like, I just don't understand. And I mean, at this point, I'm like so confident that this guy is who he says he is for a variety of reasons. I mean, I don't have like definitive proof, because that would be me going to that black site and seeing it for myself. And obviously, I didn't do that. So, like, I'm like a couple steps removed from that, I guess.
Django, much love,
Yeah.
man. And that's a really cute guinea pig. Do you see
Oh my God,
that guinea pig? Thank you so much. I really
yeah.
appreciate that. If not, cute dogs, if non-disclosure, if non-human intelligence exists, do you think the government would officially say it? No, I don't. I don't know how many elements in government officially know this. I like to look back to the early 1950s. This is something I just talked about in the infographics video too, within Truman and Eisenhower, and kind of the heavy possibility of kind of US government elements losing track of the UAP situation at that time. If we look back to the 40s and 50s, you have scientists like Herman Oberth and so forth who are talking and actually making flight measurements and estimates of UAP flight characteristics. So back at this time, it was pretty well thought out to be non-human intelligence and flying saucers and so forth. So I think this is going to be done by the people. By the people, or hopefully, and I hope this, people in programs that Grush has talked about, some of his 40 witnesses, these people need to start testifying.
Yeah.
It's an annoying bit of silence. What do you think of Charles Hall? That name sounds familiar, but I can't remember. Do you know Charles Hall?
No.
So Dueling Grocks, if you could tell me, best favorite UFO photo, my profile picture, 2006 or 2007, Wisconsin. There's a series of two of them. I love this image. I look at it and just something kind of makes me feel a little scared inside. What do you say?
I don't really have a favorite, but I can respect why that's why you feel like that's really compelling.
It's a
That's
great series of images.
yeah.
I'll provide on my community notes the there's a good kind of story in the summary of the people who took the photos and so forth, and there's two cases of it. Really interesting. Do we would like to hear your research on Valiant Thor. Yo, somebody was talking about Valiant Thor in the Twitter space the other day. That's when I messaged you and I said, these guys are talking
Oh,
about
that's
Valiant
right.
Thor.
Yeah.
I first heard about
I think it
Valiant.
was Jason Sands.
It was Sands?
Yeah, he was on Alive. He was on a X Space, rather.
Okay, Valiant Thor, for any of you who don't know, Valiant Thor is like a supposed Venusian extraterrestrial that came down in the, I think, Eisenhower administration and basically worked in the Pentagon. I first heard about this on a podcast called Mysterious Universe. It's a really good podcast. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, a little silly. If any of you guys have heard that, I absolutely love that podcast. But that story is a bit, I mean, I have no confirming evidence or things to disprove the story, but I find it a little strange that basically, an uncanny valley type human is working in the Pentagon, but I don't know. I don't have anything to debunk that story, but do find it a little strange. Let's keep seeing. I do agree with what DeLon said on Steve-O's pod about Valiant Thor. I don't know what he said, so if you know what he said, please let me know. Ross Coulthart said in his
Yeah,
psionic.
so the psionic in the I think that was in the AMA, like, what's one word everyone should be looking into to kind of push things forward or learn more about what's going on. He said psionic. And from my perspective, that is a 100% direct reference to Michael's testimony, relaying information from the insider. Okay. That's my opinion. And I'll just repeat that Ross is actively investigating Michael's case and
Yeah.
finds him incredible.
I'll say that I have not talked to Ross, especially about Michael. So like, I can't add anything there. I would love to speak to Ross, but no, I know you've talked to Ross, but I have not.
Yeah.
I have not spoken to Ross.
So, I mean, I could be wrong, but like that word for me, the first, I never heard Psionic until Michael brought it up. And that was like a big part of, you know, the whole thing with,
I think I first heard about like Psionic stuff back in like I can't remember the 2020s when those supposed A-tip slides leaked from Chris Mellon's personal website. I think it's slide 9, which talks like what's considered like the phenomena is now considered quantum physics, and talk about kind of a consciousness affecting of being in proximity to the UAP and so forth. So that is super, super interesting. I don't know, because you know, I'm not a psychic.
Yeah.
If I was, I'd make better YouTube videos, but I'm not a psychic. I don't know anybody that's psychic. So that, of course, is one of the toughest things for me to wrap my head around. What soft disclosure points? I don't know, because you have close encounters of the third kind, and you have a really weird, you have a lot of parallels to real life, like that eccentric French scientist who is basically a movie analog to a Jacques Vallée and the J. Allen Hynek type scientist. So I don't know, but that I'd be interested to find out. I agree. JSOC was also mentioned in the article exposing the OGA. Yes, the OGA is something I'm trying to investigate right now as we speak. I think that's so interesting. There's a couple guys I'm talking to that have some poignant points on OGA and kind of Carl Wolf, the former head, and so forth. So that'd be interesting. All right, what does this say? So David Gruss has confirmed the deep state is real. Thoughts on the legitimacy of the USA government? Democracy is fake. I definitely think there is a program that studies reverse engineering.
Or like looking around the camera to see the questions.
At least from everything I've studied, I'd like to support the thesis that there is evidence that there is a crash retrieval and reverse engineering project that is not necessarily run by USG elements with oversight.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff's so crazy, guys. Like, I totally understand that. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. It would just be speculation.
But the text message from his bussy who tells him he isn't too deep is funny. Comical.
It's the next,
I think your comment's more comical. okay, let's keep going through some. I don't know. What is he saying? I don't know if I consider Herrera disinfo, but to play devil's advocate, there would definitely be value in elevating false whistleblowers to discredit people indirectly, the whole prospect. Yeah, totally agree. And I even think at the 2023, there's some kind of a little bit of false whistleblowers and so forth.
One thing I don't understand, like people kind of call this a Dodi Benowitz situation. And the thing I don't understand about that at all is, you know, Benowitz didn't have the same type of experience that Herrera did. Benowitz intercepted communications, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think it was near Mount Rainier. No, that's Kenneth Arnold. Near a kind of like a plateau.
He thought he was intercepting like communications
between extraterrestrial and like humans.
And so Doty came in and like supported that idea and like egged it on. This is like the opposite. Like Michael saw anti-gravity craft. It flew off. There's like no mistaking what his testimony is from his perspective. So it makes no sense if Michael was making this up. How could an insider come in and like egg him on about it and be like, oh yeah, I saw the operation you stumbled upon. If Michael knows he's making it up, he would know the insider is lying to him about, you know, knowing what operation he stumbled upon. So I just don't even see the logic of how that would work. So I kind of find that comparison a little silly.
Yeah, I do too. Let's scroll, keep going through. Sorry, we're trying to get through all these. Whack-a-mex, much love, brother. Thank you. What do you think about the idea of agreements with NHI? It's really interesting. David Grush has commented on that as pretty much fact. One of the things that I remember is, I think it's 1954, Holloman Air Force Base landing with Eisenhower coming down to contact extraterrestrials and making some agreement with them. There's stories that this is to allow extraterrestrials to do abductions and so forth. And there's some interesting, Greer has some interesting whistleblowers in his log that have talked about observing like the 54 Holloman landing, what these agreements could be, why these agreements are with people that live in this continent and not others, or if Russia's going to come out and say that Russia, China has their own agreements. I don't know. I find it really interesting, but like I struggle a lot to find out, to think what those agreements could be. Why would an NHI species need to make agreements with humans?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of speculation. I really don't know.
Yeah, speculation, and there's some pretty interesting stories around there, but I really hope we can get to the bottom of that or hear more from Grush, because I know nothing.
I mean,
more.
He alluded to it.
No. He said in a Ross Goldhart interview, in the first one, the News Nation one,
yeah.
Ross says something like, "An agreement has been made with NHI," and Grush says, "Yeah."
Yeah.
So I don't know. Wait, is that the Joey? Yes, this is the Joey, man. This is Joey. It's not my name.
I mean, my name's not Joey, but I am Joey. It's not my name.
Quitter. Yeah, I struggle with this every day. This, the abduction psionic ET communication, is the hardest part for me to kind of wrap my head around.
And like, honestly, guys, I don't. I seriously think I've got this cognitive dissonance sometimes when I'm investigating this case, and I focus in on kind of like the tangible stuff that, you know, is in my kind of reality of what the real world is like. And so I focus on the military stuff, the operation and things like that. And I kind of like take the bigger, crazy picture of what Michael's claiming and just set it aside. Because like, it's such a wild change from like how I understand the world works that it's hard for me to really accept it.
Yeah. You know? It's something like I'm actively studying to learn more about, but you know, for somebody with an engineering background who's really interested in craft, crash retrieval is more so tangible stuff. It's really difficult for me to understand, especially because, you know, I've had no like personal experiences with any sort of psychicness. Laxative pain. Is that a play on Max Payne? Thank you so much. Just dropping.
Oh yeah, Max Payne, right in the.
Oh hey,
that was a good game.
Yeah, Max Payne 3 is goated.
I played the OG one.
Max Payne 6. Yeah. For Foes, kind of slow in the acting as GTA. I'll check that out tonight, man. Foes 1997. I really appreciate you, brother. Thoughts on Ashton and the MH370 videos? I don't know much. I try and stay out of that because that seems like a really big kind of a rabbit hole. I have heard many people say that those are debunked, but I really don't know, man. I try and stay out of that. I remember when that video was released, I was like, holy crap, that's really cool. But I really don't know much, to be honest. What about you,
Joey? Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty compelling that they're hoaxed. However, and I don't really like Ashton's reaction to a lot of really logical kind of presentations, like, you know, the raw photos, finding the original photographer who took the raw photos of the clouds and the sequence, and his kind of, you know, comebacks to those are relatively weak and kind of emotional reactions. However, there are certain things that I find interesting about the kind of context of the way the videos were put together, I guess. And it makes me almost wonder if maybe they are hoaxed, but maybe they were hoaxed by a high level,
like a
government,
not body, just a single or person,
not just like a random dude like in his basement, but like maybe this was a kind of official like project to put this out for some sort of reason, because there's things about the specific satellite that was, you know, supposedly taking images that like, how would the person know this within the time frame, and just like the alignment of a lot of different things. And so there's a lot of, I haven't gone too deep into it. I've really just focused on Herrera's case, but I don't like how Ashton is handling a lot of the criticisms and stuff. But there's still like a little piece there that I do find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Matt Ford announced that the name of the OGA has changed recently. Yeah, I remember when that Daily Mail article about the OGA came out too. There seemed to be a lot of kind of changes from the Internet Archive on kind of the flow of information from how to access the OGA. The OGA is super interesting. Sorry, just trying to scroll through some of the questions. There's should I still report it to MUPON? Edward, tell me, man. Send me an email. I want to hear about it. UAPGurb@gmail.com. Gaddis Gaming. I want to hear about your experience, man. That sounds incredible. This is a great question. What are your opinions on? I think that was a really bad idea for him to come public on Twitter.
Unfortunately, and I think part of the thing that I think Mr. Sands made as a kind of a mistake was going too much into being too generous with providing his speculative thoughts mm-hmm. on different questions that were totally unrelated to his direct experience of what, you know, his encounter and his job. And so, because what happens is now people get that soundbite and they think he's speaking that from a firsthand perspective, and it just kind of muddies the water. One thing that's interesting that I think we can talk about regarding Sands. So we actually had another meeting yesterday with Michael and another individual who's kind of behind the scenes. He's someone in the intelligence community, someone I've been speaking to for a while. And he kind of vouched for the fact that Jason Sands was participating in the UAP Task Force forum.
Yeah.
So there was some, you know, that you guys probably remember that argument about, you know, Sands said he was part of the UAP Task Force. And, but then he's like, well, I mean, the forum. It's, and people kind of flipped out about that. But from what this IC person that we saw yesterday kind of explained to us was like, that's kind of how it was. There was like the UAP Task Force forum was kind of this, it's essentially like a collaborative platform that's behind, you know, a top secret clearance, but it's accessible to a wide range of intelligence community individuals. And so what was happening was people who were officially part of the UAP Task Force might reach out to someone in the NGA or something and be like, oh, have you guys seen this or that? And like, you know, people who had a personal interest in UAP could just jump in there and kind of like be like on the side, like do a little bit of research and like, you know, give it to the task force. And so it was kind of the way I kind of understand it is like, you kind of felt like you were part of the UAP task force.
Yeah.
If you were kind of just part of that group. It's kind of like if you're on like a Discord chat, you would say like, oh yeah, I'm part of that group.
Yeah.
You know, if you're, you know.
So the way we heard is you participated in kind of this forum, so forth, kind of contributed to the UAP task force. And that's when he told the story. And kind of a lot of really interesting people kind of find Sands credible or think he's just a fantastic person and they have wonderful things to say
about him. I mean, like his character alone, I've only heard very positive things about his character. So I think it's just kind of the way he decided to come forward, just had him come forward on the wrong foot. And and again, like for me personally, I feel like it's important for whistleblowers, especially when they first come forward, stick to your direct experiences.
Yeah, let people know when you're speculating.
Yeah, or just be like, you know, I don't want to go there. Like, just to cement in people's minds, like, this is their direct experience. Sorry, you're trying to, like, hammer through all these questions, and I'm expanding on...
That's kind of that's what we did with our mic.
How much what time do you want to go to?
Okay, we'll go to 5:20, so 8 minutes, guys, then we got to hop off, all right?
So we'll get through some questions.
But for our interview with Michael, we try to make sure that that every time he was speculating about something, he made it clear. Just because we want to kind of hammer down his case from his words. So let's get through these. We'll stay on for a little bit more. Troll Mama, thank you so much. And I like that little beaver running through. I really appreciate you. Above Black by Dan Sherman. I was told to read this yesterday, so I'm going to be reading that and kind of I'll check it, let you know what I think. I think that's my next read. Please look into Jason Sands a little deeper. Yes, I'm currently trying to get in contact with Sands to speak to him. I really want to talk to him. I think this was a response to the question on the guy saying he was playing devil's advocate about Michael and the fake or purposeful disinformation. I don't think necessarily an example of elevated false whistleblower narratives. Yeah, suspicions about Jason Sands, especially with how he came forward, right? Like, this dude pops up on a Twitter space, and it's, especially when he kind of has an idea and runs with it. So, you know, I really wish our first introduction with him was the James Fox interview.
Or like just some other interview.
Thoughts on Weygandt. Weygandt's awesome, although he won't. I've tried to talk to him. I don't think he wants to do any more interviews. I've tried to contact him on multiple platforms. Sorry. You can't discredit the legitimate witnesses and whistleblowers coming down the pipe. You can preemptively discredit the idea of a US UFO whistleblower. If you're talking about Sands there, I'm not shutting down Sands. I kind of need to talk to him personally before I can form a full opinion, just because of how strange his coming out was on Twitter and so forth. There's a lot of messiness there and a lot of murky waters. Cause I know there's been a lot of discussion around him and so forth. Is there any evidence at all for abductions being real? I don't know. I don't know, man. We were talking about the Travis Walton case today, and neither of us really know what to think about that. I don't know. I try and stay a little away from abductions a little bit because I know it's kind of pretty murky. So we'll keep going. Why, assuming NHI is a biological life form, why would anything more powerful than us? I don't know. I don't. It's an interesting question, right? Like, especially so many hypotheses as to why NHI are here and interacting or not interacting with us. This new hypothesis for one. I just think it's that's a great question. It looks like Anonymous is leaving us, gang. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry I disappointed you, dude. Without disclosing names or locations, can Joey explain? Yeah, you talked about that earlier, right?
Yeah, it started from a piece of evidence and I was able to corroborate it with multiple public sources, data sources. And I mean, at this point, I've said, like, I've tracked the helicopter, you know, so like I was able to figure out the exact helicopter that he was on and he flew to this location. And so naturally, anyone, if you know a specific aircraft, you can go and look on flight radar and see where it went at a certain time. And so that was my initial thing that was like, holy crap, you know. But even after that, now at this point, it's just, there's no doubt whatsoever.
My issue with Greer, yeah, I completely agree with that. What I've noticed and possibly heard is that when he has a witness, he tries to claim them as his own so he can be the central figure and central point of contact for everything. Troll Mama, I think there's plenty of people investigating. There's a lot of really good channels on YouTube. A lot of great people. I mean, my butthole is your butthole, Ashton. What the heck?
You didn't hear about that one?
No.
That was. Jeez, we don't need to go into it. It was his. It was his like little logic litmus test that he was talking about the FX effect that was on.
How does that have to do with investigating the?
Because he thinks like all explosions have like the same pattern. So he's like, you know, you have a butthole, I have a butthole, but my butthole's not your butthole. It was just so.
Right, if you want people to take this seriously, why would technology so overheads? Yeah, I like to think back to the, you know, if we were to give a smartphone to the ancient Romans or a nuclear bomb to people in the Victorian era. Interesting question. I believe. So it looks like a lot of people are kind of commenting or talking about psionics. So a lot of people are kind of open to this idea, reading more, paying attention more. That's something that I need to educate myself more on.
Yeah, there was actually a couple of people have asked this elsewhere, but you know, Michael had alluded to last year. Actually, he was going to be kind of going out and meeting the insider again and seeing like a demonstration of one of these psionics, kind of attracting, calling a craft or something like that. Mm. That was supposed to happen last year. That fell through. Things are kind of up in the air about that right now. It makes sense. I understand why. I can't really talk about why, but at this point, I honestly don't even think that would be even something that, because like I was kind of nervous about it to begin with, because like, what, you know, even if he could like videotape that or something, or
is it just gonna be three lights in the sky?
Yeah, and I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if that's even gonna be a good thing to do. And so there's other things that are kind of trying to be put together in the background that I think are gonna be a better path forward to help support disclosure. I'll say that much.
Let's keep
going. So that might still happen. It's just I don't know when.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the help. Samuel Fredette, that's a cool profile picture. I've not read Trinity. I've heard a little bit of a D. Dean Johnson kind of trying to discredit that case because I know Jacques Vallée has worked on it. So or kind of worked on that case. So I need to educate myself a little more on that. And I would like to read Trinity and I would like to read what Dean Johnson says. Gary Nolan worked on a project for CIA, someone we trust. I don't know. Gary Nolan seems to be I know nothing like a negative or anything about Gary Nolan. Seems like an interesting dude, kind of pushing for disclosure. I hope his head's in the right place.
But I haven't heard about that CIA.
Yeah, I haven't heard about that either. But okay, Sands is legit. If you listen to his interview, he's very reserved and is afraid to speak more. Yes, that's why I want to talk to Sands, because there's so much kind of drama and controversy around him online and kind of social media spaces. but I want to talk to him and hear his story from his words. But he still said 20 and back. Yeah, I remember like back in like 2016 or so, I heard that first dude, that's a cute cap, by the way, who said the 20 and back thing was a thing to go work at, like mining on the moon with reptilians. That requires some extraordinary proof for that. So that, yeah. that is something a bit strange. All right, let's get through these, then we'll start wrapping up. Eminent domain. I don't think that eminent domain will ever happen. There's also other people we've talked to, not like whistleblowers or anything, just guys with interesting backgrounds that also don't think that happened. Does private aerospace have legal rights to exploit technology despite potential legal technology transfers? Yeah, I think probably what David Grush says is pretty interesting. It has a lot to it, that a lot of technology is specifically crafted, stored in private domain to avoid any sort of kind of eminent domain grab or any sort of access to this craft, keep things off books and projects and so forth. Do you have anything to add?
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry, man. Just trying to get here. I just joined. Wasn't Joey supposed to be anonymous? Yes, he was, but this is Joey now.
Well, it's like I was never like supposed to. It's like if you have, do you have a Reddit account? Are you anonymous on Reddit? Yeah, me too. So like I got into this whole thing and I was just like, that just kind of maintained. And then it got to a point where everyone was like, why are you anonymous? And it's like, well, I don't know. And you know, things were getting, I didn't know how much danger I was putting myself in. And I think at this point, the kind of secret stuff that I knew that I was kind of nervous about having and wanted to remain honest about, Michael has talked about now. So I feel a lot more comfortable kind of at least showing my face. And so I decided to do that just so, because I feel like the longer I kind of remain completely in the shadows, like the worse it's going to get. And so like, it really wasn't a big deal to begin with. And that's just fine.
All right, let's get through these. Hill's abduction case. That is a super interesting case. I think I did that in the first ever Iceberg video. Betty and Barney Hill's granddaughter is a UFC fighter, Angela Hill. She talked about that on JRE once. That was pretty interesting. I like that case. That's a really interesting thing. Monster Hunter, love you. For me, Travis Walton and the Pasigola, sorry, you guys know I can't pronounce anything, are plenty of evidence that NHI abductions are a real phenomenon. The thing with me is I kind of need to sit down and do like a full investigation for myself to reach any sort of conclusion. Like I like to sit through, read multiple books, kind of weigh things and really sit down. And abductions is one thing I really haven't given a ton of time or focus to. What about you, Joey?
Yeah, I mean, guys, I'm not Gerb. Gerb's like researching like all these different cases and stuff. Like I'm just like a normal dude. I was like a regular, like just a random Redditor guy. And like the Herrera case, just somehow I got wrapped up into it. And like, that's kind of what I've been focusing on. And, you know, so
I'd love to sometime in the future, like make a website with all my documents as a repository. Cause I have so dang many, and you know, like I in all the show notes, I always put the documents and stuff I lead to, but I'd love like a central database of everything there. Yeah, Forgotten Languages is super interesting. I first read that in the anonymous briefing document for Congress in 2023. The Forgotten Languages thing is sweet. There's this really cool group of people, some great people that did a deep dive into Forgotten Languages. I need to kind of get educated from them. Are you going back to the 1933 case? I'd like to after those recent release of RS-33 documents. Big on the crypto-terrestrial hypothesis. That's super interesting, too. I like to visit that. Trinity case is weak. Yeah, well, I need to study that as well. I hear you, not Joey. Yeah, not Joey.
Yeah.
Sorry, but who was who? Brother, if you've seen any of my videos, I'm Gerd. This is Joey.
Yeah, Joey's not my name on Reddit.
Sorry, man. I'm Gerd.
I guess.
Okay, let's see. Can't wait for the Obama movie. Yeah, that's weird. The Obama movie about the Hill.
Oh, the Hill. Yeah, Betty Barney Hill. Yeah.
Harry. Hey, look at that dog. That's a very cute dog. True nuts and bolts. I don't know. I got to study anything else. And Harry, thank you so much for both of this. I'd like to say but this is a great point. If abductions are logical, if we visit another planet, we would sample the flora and fauna. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why it's not something to just throw away, but needs to be kind of investigated. I would like to say through this live, you know, we didn't really know what to expect. We just kind of wanted to talk about Michael and so forth. And you guys came with so many awesome questions. Like this was actually really fun. So, you know, if you guys would like to do some more lives or see something like that, would you want to do some more? Maybe a live a week?
You know, so it's like, all right, I have a ton of respect for what you do. Mm-hmm. I have been so apprehensive about like becoming a content creator because it's you're very vulnerable because, you know, if you talk about or investigate a case that you like and you put some credibility into it and then like later it turns out to be a complete
hoax, my butt on the line.
It's kind of like that's now attached to you. And I'm like so afraid to do that. Mm-hmm. And like this community can be very toxic. But like I gotta say, like your followers are so kind
great.
To you. I think they recognize like the amount of work you put into, you know, the cases that you create videos on and stuff. And,
also, if I'm ever really like needed. Hoodwinked or anything like that, and the case turns out to be false, I'll come out and say it. Like, if I'm wrong about something, I'll totally do it. I would like to because that helps disclosure, right?
Yeah, it's a trick. It's like a tight wire, a tightrope, because you know, and like how much do you talk about speculation and get into that? And you know, even if you say like, oh, this is speculation, people are going to be like, oh, wait, he believes this or whatever. And,
so I would like to say that, you know, maybe Joey will join me on some live streams. Maybe he won't, but that would be kind of fun to do like a live a week or something like that, whenever works for anybody else. And that will definitely not take place of regular videos because I'll let you guys know a little secret right now before we wrap things up. You guys know I mention this a lot. Who remembers me mentioning Magic Eyes Only, the book by Ryan S. Wood? Focuses on crash retrievals and MJ-12. Who knows this book? I'm waiting. Anyways, we'll get to Jangy Squish real fast before I talk about that. Thank you so. Ew, dude, your profile picture is foul. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that. So this book, Magic Eyes Only, is I fully recommend this. I'm not sponsored by the author, by the way. About crash retrievals and MJ-12. The author of this book, Ryan S. Wood, whose father, Robert S. Wood, who worked contracting for various defense companies and had a lot to say about MJ-12, UAP, and so forth. I have contacted Ryan S. Wood. I know him. I've talked to him multiple times on the phone. He lives near me. I will be doing an in-person project with him, kind of doing a full dive on the MJ-12 soon, too. And I cannot wait for that, man. That's going to be an awesome case because the MJ-12 is so complex. Like, I can't have like a pea brain like myself understand everything right away. So something with Ryan S. Wood's going to be really great.
Yeah, so it's really cool.
We'll do more lives if you guys want. And should I keep – you got to invite the author on the show? Yes. No. So you remember the interview I had with Joey about Michael? I plan to do a documentary interview with him where he and I have a full conversation, but – splice throughout the conversation is different studies and anecdotes and relevant documents and kind of relevant pathways to go down, not just he and I sitting hold on, man, nobody's selling nothing here, bro. Nobody's selling nothing. But for that video with Ryan S. Wood, kind of sit down with him, do an in-person video recording and kind of make that into a documentary. Yeah, but awesome. Yeah, I'll do another one of these soon, guys. And if you want, do you keep live streams up?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, people will watch them, right?
Thank you guys so much for joining. I really appreciate every single one of your views. Like, we got like 140 viewers, which is crazy, man. I love Zambia too. I've never been, but I've only been in Morocco. So
he's done a lot of traveling.
I'd like to do some more, man. The lady was you guys. Was not going to read it. Yeah, but thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate all the good questions.
Yeah, this was awesome, and I appreciate you hosting me here and you know having these few days together. It's been awesome.
So we'll have the Herrera video up as soon as possible, the interview, and I'm super excited to see what you guys think because I'd like to open up some more discussion about that.
All right, peace.
All right, thanks, gang.